This is Core Christianity. We're answering your questions about the Christian life Monday through Friday. Your hosts are author and seminary professor Dr. Michael Horton and Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Call right now with your question at 1-833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And now here's Adriel Sanchez.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Core, where we answer your questions about the faith. I'm with Professor Michael Horton. I'm Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Do you share your faith in Jesus with other people? You know, it's one of the things that we really struggle with as Christians, isn't it, Mike? I know that many believers, there's nothing more terrifying to them than the idea of having to do evangelism. We have all these seminars that we do in the church and books that we print and whatnot, just wanting to help people share their faith. And one of the things that I think is so important about core Christianity, the core doctrines of the faith, is the more someone understands the truth of Scripture, the more comfortable they're going to feel.
More natural.
Yeah, it's going to be natural. Being able to talk about who Jesus is and what he's done for us, it really is good news.
We program everything, Adriel. You know, we talk about prayer, how hard prayer is. I think one of the reasons is because we've turned it into a program. It's a spiritual discipline. I don't like that term, not because I don't like the term discipline, but it turns it into a program. It's a thing. No, prayer is talking to the God who made you and redeemed you. It's talking to your Father through the mediation of his Son in the power of his Holy Spirit. Prayer is communication.
We could probably even say evangelism is talking about the God who redeemed us with other people.
That's all it is. And when I say that's all it is, that's the power of it. That's how great it is. You know, let's not turn it into a thing like a program that we just have to, I'm going to have to take a seminar to learn how to share my faith. No, actually, the most important thing, as you say, Adriel, is knowing what you believe, why you believe it, and therefore being able to explain it in very bite-sized ways to people you run into every day.
This really gets us into our first call. Let's listen in to Jen's question.
Hi, my name's Jen from Washington, and I'm wondering what you think is the best resource or direction to talk to somebody about who is a non-believer, who just is unable to wrap their mind around the Bible and the tenets of Christianity, because as we all know, it's hard to see from the other side. So I was wondering what you think the best approach is there. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. I'm really glad that you have non-Christian friends and you have a heart to share the good news with them. Now, of course, a lot depends on context, how well you know them, how much time you have to share the gospel with them. You know, you see them fairly regularly. You don't feel like you have to share everything all at the same time. And if you don't know them well, then to just kind of come out of the gate with, here are four things that I want to share with you, will come off as kind of canned. I think the best way to start is by focusing on the gospel story itself. That's why we have four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each tells the same story from a different angle with different emphases. We often encourage people to read the gospel of John first because it's such a wonderful presentation of the history that's summarized in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's really a summary of the whole book. In fact, John says at the end of John's gospel that he wrote it so that people would believe in Christ, John 20, verse 31. So it's not just tenets. It's not just doctrines. Christianity is not just a collection of doctrines that we check off. Certainly, there are doctrines. That's why we call it core Christianity. But the doctrines only make sense as part of that wider story. When we say the gospel's the Bible's main theme, we don't just mean here and there. We mean the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is unified by one message of salvation. And it's all about Jesus. Another great book to take people through is Romans. You may have heard of the Romans Road. It can sound canned, like other presentations can, but at least you're using Scripture, and you can do it in a way that doesn't come off as canned. The first verse on the Romans road is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. None of us has fulfilled God's law. There's no one who's righteous, no, not one. So we need to be justified by his grace. And then Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, there you have a detailed picture of what sin looks like in our lives. But then the second verse on the Romans road is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the punishment we deserved is borne by Christ, and he bore the wages. Now we are saved in him. First of all, people have to understand what their plight is. What is their misery? That's why we have to, first of all, give them God's word in the law. The law condemns us all. But then we turn to the gospel, and that's how Romans works. First three chapters up to verse 19 of chapter 3 are all telling us, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. For the law only tells us that we've fallen short. And then in verse 20, he says, but now the righteousness of God as a gift, not as a demand, but as a gift, is revealed to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? We actually have objective peace with the God we have rebelled against, we've declared war on. Through Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled to God the Father. And therefore, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Finally, at the end of chapter 8, Paul tells us that no one can charge God's elect with anything, that Christ is the one who bore our guilt. We've been justified, and even our suffering right now is not God's judgment against us. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor any height or depth, nor any creature will ever be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So those are some passages that you could kind of walk through for a basic presentation of the gospel. In a lot of cases here, Jen, you won't have the time to even hit highlights, much less unpack these amazing parts of Scripture. Part of it's just to listen to where they are. You can't say everything, but there's so much that you can say that reveals the truth of God's good news in Jesus Christ. So start wherever you feel comfortable in the conversation. It all depends on context. For example, most people I run into on the street, Jen, think religion is subjective. It's all about what makes you feel good or be good. Even if you can get just a single point across, you could maybe start with the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact. You know, why are you a Christian? Well, you're a Christian not just because it works for you, makes you happy, and so forth. You're a Christian because it's true. Jesus rose from the dead, and that's a historical fact. Even if they don't accept that truth immediately, at least maybe you can get them to go away thinking about, oh, wow, okay, this isn't like all the other religions, whatever works for you, as long as it makes you feel good. No, this is about something that either did or didn't happen in history. And then if you have an extra minute or two, you can talk about what it means. Romans 4:25, he was crucified for our sins and was raised for our justification. The doctrine tells us what it means for us. He was not only crucified and raised, he was crucified for my sins and your sins. He was raised for our justification. The last thing I'd say, Jen, here, you know, plant the seed. See what God does. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So there are different people who are playing different roles in this farming business that we're involved in. It's what evangelism is, farming. Maybe somebody planted the seed before you, Jen. Maybe you're the one who's going to plant the seed, but that doesn't mean that you have to be the one who waters it and cultivates it. There will be other people involved. So don't think you have to just kind of make them drink out of a fire hose with a gospel presentation. Other people will come along. Trust the Lord to use you in even a small way to play a role in that. Always remembering that whoever plants, whoever waters, whoever cultivates, it's the Lord who makes it grow. Let me just throw out too, we have a book called Core Christianity. And I wrote this not just for new Christians and older Christians, but also for non-Christians.
Yeah.
It's a little book that you can hand to a non-Christian, not as a cop-out for not talking to them yourselves. That's a very important thing. We don't just want to hand people books and say, okay, now I've done my
good luck
hit and run. But it is, I think, a book that does what we're talking about here, helping people understand, first things first, why do we believe that Jesus is God's Son who became flesh for us? What are the reasons for believing in the resurrection? So forth. Core Christianity could be a really good thing to give to somebody you love or care about, or somebody you've just met, to help them understand the basics of Christian teaching.
That's right. You're listening to Core Christianity. Give us a call with your question about the faith, 1-833-843-2673. That's 1-833-THE-CORE. And hey, we want to let you know about our YouTube channel. There are some short clips of some of the action here in the studio. Really great resources for you to share online with your friends, answering some of the questions that we get here on The Core. So check out our YouTube channel. And remember, you can also email us a question at questions@corechristianity.com. You know, Jen, one of the things I really appreciate about your questions, I can tell you want to be sensitive to the fact that this friend, you know, they don't have the Christian background that you do. And we're all approaching the world from these different perspectives, you know, this idea of worldview. And so how do we bring someone along who they don't share our same convictions and presuppositions about God?
And more and more these days, it's not just they don't share our same assumptions. They've never heard.
That's right.
The story told from the Christian point of view. They don't know the basic plot line of the Bible, and sometimes it's even Christians.
Yeah. And so I really appreciate, Jen, that you're wanting to think about this so deeply.
Yeah.
A couple of other resources, maybe books that might be helpful. Greg Kogel has a couple books on evangelism. One is called Tactics. Another one, which I think specifically getting to this idea of worldview and how to bring someone along, is a book called The Story of Reality, which
That's
I think
really,
is a great book, not just for us to read as Christians, but it's one of those books that you can hand to somebody who doesn't understand, doesn't have a background,
could understand that, yeah,
and they could follow along. And then, Mike, as you were saying, just really getting straight to the gospel in our conversations, because that's where the power is. The Spirit of God works together with the gospel. I think that hopefully all of this together, you know, whether it's going to the book of Romans, going to the book of John, just get to Jesus and watch the Spirit of God work when you do.
Yeah.
You're listening to Core Christianity, and that's what we want to do on this program, is we want to get to Jesus over and over again. You can give us a call with your question at 1-833-843-2673. That's 1-833-THE-CORE. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. Let's go to an Instagram message we received from Phil. Does God show grace to everyone, and do people just reject it? Thank you for that question, Phil. You know, sometimes when we think about God's grace, you hear theologians or pastors talk about God's common grace. So you look at a verse like Matthew 5, verse 45, where it says, where Jesus said, He, God, makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. It's the idea that God is just, He's good in creation to all the world. You know, He causes the rain to fall on good people and bad people. Common grace doesn't save us, though. We need special grace, God's mercy toward sinners. And the Bible is absolutely clear, Phil, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. The free offer of the gospel goes out to everyone without distinction. God says, come, take freely, receive. The problem is, because of our sinfulness and the hardness of our hearts, we turn away from that message. You know, when Stephen was about to be martyred in Acts 7, he preached the gospel to a group of unbelieving Jews, and he told them, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you," Acts 7:51. So yeah, people resist God's grace, and this is why we need the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit within us making us alive to embrace the good news of Jesus. Later in the book of Acts, I think you actually see this at work in a really neat way in a woman named Lydia. Listen to what Luke wrote about her. "One who heard us, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul," Acts 16:14, a really important verse, I think. This is one of the great tensions, I think, that the Bible presents us with, Phil. We have to be careful, too. We want to let the Bible speak to us here. The scriptures teach that all of us are responsible before God for the things that we do and believe. No one can say to God, "It's your fault, God." And yet it's absolutely clear that apart from God's grace, none of us would ever have believed to begin with. We were spiritually dead, like the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. And so the free offer of the gospel, the goodness of God's message of salvation, goes out to everyone without distinction. But we wouldn't believe it if it wasn't for the free grace of God working within us, right, Mike?
Exactly. I love the distinction that you're mentioning between common grace, which Jesus is referring to in Matthew 5, and saving grace. God is good to all the creatures he's made, but he is good in a saving way. He seeks and saves those whom he has chosen and redeemed in Jesus Christ. Those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified, as Paul says in Romans 8:30. So when God sets down that path to save someone, of course, everybody he saves would say no on their own, just as everybody else would. But he always gets his man or his woman. He draws us savingly to himself, not against our will, but by renewing our will so that we come willingly.
And it's not according to our merits that he draws us. You know, I'm preaching right now through the book of Galatians, and I'm in that section at the end of Galatians chapter 1, where Paul's talking about his conversion. And you think about Paul and the way he was living, the things he was doing, for God to draw him into the church
while
the way that
he
did,
as
he's on his way to imprison Christians, it just goes to show you this is all of grace.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he was or we were good or righteous or merited God's love and salvation. No, God is so merciful to us. And at the end of the day, God gets all the glory.
Amen.
You're listening to Core Christianity, and we're answering your questions about the faith. If you want to follow up about that previous question, or if you have another question, give us a call at 1-833-843-2673. That's 1-833-THE-CORE. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. And we have a special offer we want to let you know about today.
Yeah, Adriel, we have a resource called 8 Things Everyone Should Know About the Church, and it's free when you sign up for our weekly newsletter. At Core Christianity, we love the church. We talk about it a lot, as you know, because it's the bride of Christ, and we want to encourage everyone to belong to a visible expression of Christ's body. This resource will help you understand what church is and how to best honor God through your participation in your local church. So head on over to corechristianity.com/offers to download 8 things everyone should know about church.
You can also give us a call at 1-833-843-2673 for help getting a hold of any of the special offers that we make for you each day. Mike, we talked a little bit about prayer already with a question that we received earlier, but Kendra asked us on Facebook, what do you think is the most important thing people need to know about prayer? What's the one thing, Mike?
Well, the one thing. Well, first of all, what is prayer? It's talking to God. Why do you talk to your spouse or to your friends? It's to get to know them better. You like them. To deepen your relationship with them, you communicate with them. Well, God communicates with us through his word, and we communicate back to him through prayer. So his word and our words. I think also it's important to remember we're not just left to our own imagination when we speak back our prayers to him. Even there, God gives us words that we ought to pray. Think of the Lord's Prayer. The disciples said, "Lord, then how should we pray?" And he said, "Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," and so forth. And so he taught them a prayer. He gave them words. Look at the Psalms. God gave a whole prayer book to his people in the book of Psalms. a prayer for every occasion. Prayer is not just praising and adoring God. Sometimes it's crawling on your knees before Him and throwing yourselves on His mercy. Sometimes it's lament. It's like, God, why does it seem like the forces of evil seem to be winning? Have you forgotten to keep your promises? It's kind of staggering when you read some of those verses in the Psalms, but God gives us a framework for how to talk to Him. Moreover, He gives us His Holy Spirit. Even though He gives us His words in Scripture, we're still bad at it. You know, I know my prayer life could sure be improved, but it's such an encouragement to know the Holy Spirit is given to me, Paul says in Romans 8, to indwell me, making intercessions with groanings that are too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit is the greatest translator. He is taking my inchoate groanings and grumblings and thoughts and even praises, and He is repairing them, as it were, as He presents them to the Father. And I don't know what I should pray for. I ask for dumb things half the time.
Like, you know, what, Mike? I'm just joking.
I'm like a kid who, you know, wants a bag of candy.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize I'm going to be sick to my stomach. God knows, and Paul says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Father, and He knows what we need before we even ask. So I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, who is making sure that even my dumb prayers get cleaned up and that they align with the Father's will. He gives you words to pray. He gives you a mediator who gives you safe passage to Himself. And then He gives you His Holy Spirit to indwell you, guaranteeing that your prayers are heard and that they're better than the ones that you offered. With all of that behind it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't we pray? There's absolutely nothing holding us back from boldly coming to the throne of grace. Also, I'd say pray to each person of the Godhead. Pray to the Father, thanking Him for being the beginning and fountain of all good gifts. As James says, all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. Pray to the Son. Thank Him for His mediation. Thank Him for bearing our sins on the cross, becoming human for us, and bearing our humiliation. Thank Him for being raised on the third day and for interceding for us at the Father's right hand. Thank Him for one day returning, anticipating, basking in that hope of His return. And then pray to the Holy Spirit, thanking the Holy Spirit for being one with the Father and the Son in His essence, for being the one who's at work in us both to will and to do for His own good pleasure, Philippians 2, 12 and 13. When you're praying, think about it, you're not just talking to, quote-unquote, the man upstairs. You're not talking to a vague God. You're talking to the Father in the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not a program. It's not a thing. It's not like, you know, these are my spiritual disciplines for the day. It's talking to the Lord throughout the day. That's why Paul says, pray at all times, without ceasing. He doesn't mean quit your day job and, you know, go into a monastery. What he's saying is, you know, this attitude of prayer where you're always talking, just like kind of being around your spouse all day. Have a holiday with God every day. Just talk to Him when things come up. When you not only have something that you want to ask Him for, you have not only have a petition, but you have a praise. You have thanksgiving. When you reflect on His goodness, you reflect on His majesty and power, His holiness, that's what God wants. He wants to tell us who He is, and then He wants us to answer back in a faithful way, according to His word, what we have received and accepted.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. and be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.